that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And I guess it's just the two of us for now. I know we kind of had the yuck feeling rolling around the Radio Ranch and in the places, but we're here, and we're going to open up the phone lines a little early today, 307-745-5913. It is Saturday, December 28th, the last Saturday of December, the last Saturday of the calendar year, 2013. Whew, where has time gone? Where did it go? Where did it go? I don't know, but it's just gone. That's all I know. But we're here, we've got our coffee, and we got our Bibles, and the phone lines are open, so as soon as Kyle opens up in prayer, we'll be ready to go.
Will do.
All right.
Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Beautiful morning, and it was, or is, Lord. We thank you for your Son, who died on the cross to redeem us, to bring us back to your fold. Lord, can't thank you enough. Lord, we do want that on our minds and our hearts continually to know as we go out and we try to be followers of you. We try to remember, Lord, what you did for us, what you did for me. The gift of grace that came, the greatest gift of all, Lord, can't say enough about it. I know it was at an appointed time, but I also know there's another appointed time coming, Lord. We anxiously wait that day. We hasten that day as we see the world crumbling around us. Lord, and that day is, it's not only going to be a great day, for some, but a terrible day for others. And again, we thank you. We ask for you to be with us today. Be with this Coffee with the Wranglers show. Be with the remnant out there today. Watch over them, guide and protect them. Keep them from the wiles, from the fiery darts of the enemy. Lord, thank you. We ask so much, but not enough. But we ask you to be with us. Put your Holy Spirit down upon us, our thoughts and our words. Let us walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kyle, I don't know if you saw the clouds this morning.
Kind of looked around this morning. I
had some pretty neat clouds this morning. I know coming down the
road to the
radio ranch back here, it looked to me like a huge set of wings. Huge, like a, not really any type of creature, but just a big set of wings stretching off across half the sky. And we've sure had some beautiful sunrises and sunsets here the last few days. Kind of in a moderate weather zone, I guess, for now. Supposed to turn cold. Snow today and teens tomorrow. So.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
But
I was thinking of your brother-in-law this morning on my way out here, about milepost 11. Three mule deer bucks ran across in front of me.
Yeah.
One small one, couple semi good sized ones.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, they survived the hunting season.
You see some hit side the road up there. I saw one the other day, but they did. They made it on through, and I was thinking about that driving down, looking down at the river. Didn't get to hunt the river this year, but you know, about this time, it's good and dark, but the it's been good and dark. The dawn's starting to break, getting into that twilight, and the deer are up moving around eating. So anyway, had a you know, we start talking about the new year. Thought we might just review a little bit about 2013 this year and look forward to the new year. Proverbs 16, as we go to make plans, Proverbs 16 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." And I'd seen verse 3 there, but I think that you need to read verse 1 and 2 to kind of set the tone for that. You know, we make plans in our heart. Things I want to do this year. New Year's resolutions. I think that's a thing that is, I believe, unique to the true Israel people, the Caucasian people, the Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, Germanic, and kindred people. Kind of like spring cleaning. You know, the Zulus don't do spring cleaning.
Really?
I've heard the Chinese don't either. Of course, the Chinese are, you know, they're cleaning up on everything else, from oil to gold to manufacturing. And, I mean, they have moved to, they have taken our place, the Chinese truly have, as the leader in just about everything. But you know, we make plans. New Year's is coming up next week, and we make New Year's resolutions, what we're going to do, what we want to do. We make plans. And I think it's good that we read from the Word about making plans, you know. And it should be as the Lord wills.
Yeah.
And in keeping with His plans. And Proverbs right here in 16, I think, points that out. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. You know, sometimes we think that. Well, what I do is right. Right?
I used to think it more than I do now, that's for sure.
You know, but even then, because it doesn't say all the ways of a man are clean in his sight if he's a Christian or if he's not a Christian. No. It's man. It's me. It's you. It's men. It's our nature.
People justify themselves.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, because right back here, see it right there? I can find somewhere in there where it says I can have two wives. or I can do whatever I want.
Well, I never want two wives.
I know. But you get that. I've certainly addressed that over time. But the Lord weighs the motives. He knows the heart. He knows if we're doing it for our gain or for His glory.
He does.
He really does. Well, man, the phone lines are ringing already.
Let's just go right to us.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Calvin here.
Good morning, Cal.
I was wondering, are you sending out the calendars for 2014 from Scriptures for America?
Are you pushing us?
We are.
Yes, I am.
We are, Cal.
It's getting towards the end of the year, I thought. Maybe
we're in the process of making them right now.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Well,
yeah.
I appreciate the
We'll be working on another newsletter here shortly, and maybe we'll get them out together. I think that's kind of the goal. Anyway.
Yeah, the plan is to we're printing it up similar to last year's, and wish we could do a big full-page glossy, but, boy, those things are expensive. The postage. But we are doing another one, a 2014 Scriptures for America calendar that has the 91st days marked in it, and the Passover marked, and even the Passover makeup day.
Very good.
Coming up in May. And so, yeah, we'll get that out. Hopefully,
it's not too far into the year.
At the print shop. How about
that? Well, you know, yeah. I don't want Jason to get too relaxed down there, you know.
That's true.
But it's helpful, especially for the highlighting of the 91st days.
Sure.
And those things that are required. Boy, I'll tell you, it is great to have those reminders.
Yeah, you're right.
Especially when you get towards middle age.
You're almost there too, aren't you? Middle age.
Oh yeah, I am. I'm just
close.
Over the edge. Well, I sure appreciate your endeavors. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you.
God bless you.
Thanks, Cal. Have a great
Bye.
Day. And we are working on that 2014 calendar again to get that out to you because we do make plans. You know, we have Branson planned for June. I think it's 6th, 7th, and 8th, the first weekend in June in Branson, Missouri, at a brand new place. And so we have plans made. And as Proverbs 16:3 says, the Lord weighs the motives. That's actually 16:2. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And we certainly try to do that, certainly do our best in doing that, is committing them to the Lord, being about the Father's business. And if we do that, the word is true, our plans will be established. And, you know, that works for this ministry. It works for the men here that work in the ministry, the families that are here, but it works for all. That if we will, I think in the New Testament, or where is it? It says, seek first the kingdom.
It does.
And all these other things will be added unto you.
Seek
ye
first.
And our Lord and Savior knows that. You know, He knows that we need work. He knows that we need money to buy food. He knows that, we need a place for our families to live and vehicles and all those things. But those are not to be the goal. That's not to be what we strive for. Seeking first the kingdom is not that we all have to be pastors, or we all have to be missionaries, or we all have to work at the soup kitchen. There's not a problem with any of those things, but we're all called to different things, and even if we're not called to have a position maybe in the church right now, who knows what tomorrow brings. But we are to seek first the kingdom. We are to commit our works to the Lord. And if we'll do that, then that light of Christ shines out in whatever part of the world we're in, to whatever people we're around, and our ways will be established. Our works will be established. Our plans will come too.
Yeah, everybody has goals. Everybody, most of the things that, you know, when New Year's rolls around, the resolutions, whatever. I mean, we do it every week, but most of it is, what are you going to do better? I mean, that's
right.
You know, that you, I don't know if it's as common as it used to be. That used to be the main thing. Well, I'm going to do this better.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, it's basically a repentance thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's why.
You know, I'm going to stop being a glutton this year. I'm going to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, or whatever it is your goal is, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're talking about seeking you for, but for us Christians who have already entered the kingdom of God when we were born of the water and the Spirit, you know, when you said goal, I flipped over to 1 Timothy because verse 5 says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In that one verse, a lot is said there. I mean, you can go a lot of that branches out a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the goal, you know, not to be a sloppy agape love, but to love God, to keep his commandments, to love our neighbor as thyself. I mean, and then comes, you'll find that with those will come a good conscience. You know, the good conscience that we had when we came out of that watery grave of baptism, you know, and if you didn't have a good conscience there, well, anyway, everybody should have had a good conscience when they came out of the watery grave of baptism after repenting right. of their sins. But that can be renewed, you know, time and time again if you love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, that you show that by keeping his commandments, and you love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I mean? And that brings in that faithfulness. That brings in what you were talking about last week, being a doer mm-hmm. of the word and not just a hearer. You know? So, yeah. I mean,
and it's certainly harder to be a doer than a hearer. It's easy to be a hearer for some.
Yeah.
But it's harder to be a doer. It's harder to forgive when you don't want to forgive. You know, it's harder to, like you said, to do everything in love. Not that sloppy, agape love, everybody and everything, but that...
No, love like Jesus loved.
Love like Jesus loved. Love truth.
Doesn't mean you can't call a snake a snake.
Right. Love righteousness. You know, we are to do that. We are to hunger and thirst for that righteousness. And so...
Sorry about that.
That's right. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. This last December of 2013, here at the Radio Ranch. Yeah, we do. We make plans. We hope that you've marked your calendars for that June, first weekend in June for Branson. You have to mark them now. You know, I know when you work in corporate America, if you get vacation, you have to set that. Usually about now, if not already. And so we hope that getting those dates out to
which
those...
Is it the weekend still after Memorial?
It is.
Which works out better for some because, you know, then they're not fighting other employees for that same
right.
for that same time off.
Right. Yeah, hopefully it does. It's I got the calendar right here so I can flip right up to it. It is. May 26th is Memorial Day. So it's actually another week after
two
that.
Weeks.
So
okay.
It's actually, yeah, the because normally we'll have it that last weekend in May, you know, the weekend after.
Yeah.
Not this year. It's another week out, June, first weekend in June. June 6, 7, and 8. Excuse me, June 6, 7, and 8 of 2014 in Branson. And mark your calendars. Hope you can attend. And we do have a brand new place lined up. Looking forward to that. And... You know, even in reviewing this past year, looking back to the previous Branson this year, you know, what a blessed time it truly was, a time for fellowship with like-minded believers, you know, and being able to have a little time to sit down for coffee and talk with some people that, oh, maybe you just get to talk to them for a minute on the radio program, or you see their name when... You know, we're doing thank you letters, or we see their name you know, when they order books and Bibles and things like that. And it is. It certainly was a time of sweet fellowship to be able to sit down you know, talk and share things and discuss things and have steel sharpening steel and be around like-minded believers. and it was a great time of good music, praise and worship, a time to again gather with those that understand not only the Anglo-Israel message but the true gospel message. And you know, there's a family type of atmosphere. There truly is. And it's a blessed time, and you know, they just seem to get better and better.
Yeah, we've met. Me and my wife, we don't have a whole lot of contact with too many people, but a couple of the families that we've met in the Missouri area, I think we met them at the Branson Gathering, you know, there are a couple that we talk to occasionally. We don't. Mm-hmm. My phone is different than your phone. My phone is different than Jason's and John's phone.
Your phone.
You can be with me all day long, and I might get one or two rings. And yep. Some of those are just nonsense calls, you know, telling me I won a prize in the Bahamas or something. So, you know, but a couple of the people that I do talk to occasionally, I met at the Branson Gatherings, or I might have seen them at camp or somewhere else, but I really met them at the Branson Gathering. And, mm-hmm. As far as I can tell, it'll be lifelong friendship, you know, because yeah. We're like-minded.
Right.
You know? We have things in common, and those things are the doctrines of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know? And it's just a great place to come to really meet people and enjoy yourself and yet still dive into the Word of God.
Right. Yeah. It is. It is. Well, we didn't want to do all the talking this morning. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this morning. Certainly lots going on. Got to listen a little bit to some of the Solutions program last night. You talk about my phone. That's what I have to listen to. And there at my house, I got some of it. And I know that they're like just about everybody else. They talked about the Mr. Phil Robertson and the Duck Dynasty,
everything going on.
Well, I think the latest was basically they A&E has allowed him back on the show.
Oh, nice.
So they're going to, when they film for season 5, he's going to be part of it. And but, you know, I think the general consensus with the Solution guys was that, you know, is that man perfect? Not any more perfect than any of us. But as we've, I think, read last Sunday in Sundays, the local Sunday school, and talked about it on the last week on the 7x70 program, those that are not against us are for us. And, you know, I keep going back to, you know, one thing that we should be praising, regardless of who did it, is that the warning from 1 Corinthians 6, I think verse 9, got presented to 14 million people here in the United States. And if that's not something to rejoice about, I don't know. I mean, and so,
well,
you know,
it is something to
rejoice. It is. Yeah. It is. No matter who says it, you know, do not be deceived, the people were told. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor will fornicators, nor will idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's a warning, and that right now is given in the same love it was given a few weeks ago, in the same love I think that it was written in. It's a warning out of love. Not everybody gets into the kingdom of God.
Which ties right in with what I read a while ago in 1 Timothy about the goal of our instructions is love from pure heart. That's where it goes right on into those same sins.
Yes.
And tells that is who the law is made for. You know, and that's what we're supposed to be putting out is, listen, the law is made for the transgressors, the sinners, not for the righteous. You know? And I never did read exactly everything he said, but didn't he go into he used to be?
Oh,
a sinner.
Absolutely.
But then he, I don't know if he said baptized, but followed Jesus Christ and he was saved.
Yes.
or became cleansed.
Yes.
I don't know how he put it. I do want to read that, you know, because should know. But anyway, it's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 is the same as 1 Timothy 9 and 10 of chapter 1. You know, I mean, and we had a caller that called in Wednesday night prayer meeting. Do you remember who it was that you were going to read Philippians 1, 6 or whatever, and he went to Philippians 12 through 20, and he had you read it. Do you remember who that was? It doesn't really matter. But anyway, and that is the scripture. I mean, you read Mark, the gospel of
right.
Mark, you know, but this is also a perfect scripture of because we don't know Phil Robertson. You know, none of us that I know of have ever had him over for dinner or had him at church and took communion with him, you know.
Right.
So, you know, these words the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians is now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And I'll stop there for a second. I believe that when you see people stand up for God's ways and not man's ways, it does encourage other people to drop that. Well, if Phil Robertson isn't scared to say it on a national
absolutely
magazine or TV show or whatever, you know, maybe I should have a little bit more.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it is contagious.
And I think the guys brought it out last night.
Oh, they did.
I think they did mention it.
Because that's how it should work, you know. And then I'll read on. Now, verse 15, it says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, which is what you were just talking about, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. I think King James might say sordid gain there. I mean, out of gain for money or whatever, you know, I mean, or prestige or whatever it is. But for the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. And then verse 18 says, when then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. You know, so whether they were doing it for out of envy and strife and for gain and for whatever, or to hurt Paul or what, the gospel was still being preached. You know, and here's a man that obviously is Holy Spirit inspired, the Apostle Paul. He's seen the light on the way to Damascus. He rejoiced in it, you know. So, you know,
so shouldn't we?
We should.
Shouldn't
you know,
we?
We should rejoice every time. You know, whether we agree with them. I mean, I look at it like, say you're in a restaurant, and there's a table next to you, and all of a sudden you hear this man standing up saying, I am not going to let you, homosexual, serve me. We're out of here. You know? My reaction to that would be, I'm going to stand up and say, I'm not going to let him. I'm going to go out of there too. Now, rather when we get out of the restaurant, my family and his family, whether we have anything else in common,
right?
That one thing, that one part of the gospel, and preaching sin is part of the gospel message.
It is.
Because if you don't let people know they're sinners, like John the Baptist did, mm-hmm. you know, well, then they got nothing to be saved from. You know what I mean? Or at least...
They have to hear.
Yeah.
They have to hear.
So, I mean, rather when you get outside, you have anything else in common, you know at that one point in time, when they stood up for God's ways instead of man's ways, you could agree with them, you could stand with them if you're there and capable, and you could rejoice, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it would encourage me, if I was in a place like that and that happened, it would encourage me to stand right up and say, me too, we're out of here. And you know there would be people sitting at tables that would probably be throwing food at you, you know, because they would think you were the sinner.
Yeah,
you know, but that beside
the
point.
That's how it goes. Well, Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Kevin, hey. In Ohio. Hey, Kyle, I want to tell you thank you so very much for the really beautiful music you played Christmas Eve.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it. And there was some good music. Carrie Underwood and Sarah Evans and, I mean, good Christmas music, you know. And there's others, you know. From the outside, they appear to be Christians, and I know they've made mistakes, you know. But we agreed that night on one thing. Christmas is about Christ. Now, they might sing songs about Santa Claus, but I ain't going to play those songs.
Right.
But what I did agree with, you know, when they sing Silent Night and O Holy Night, and mm-hmm. I think I played a Reba song, you know, Little Bethlehem or whatever, we agreed on that night that, hey, let's celebrate the birth of Christ, you know. And that's what it was about. Thanks a lot.
That was really just a wonderful different selections you played. They were just terrific.
Well, good. And just a reminder that since you mentioned that, Kevin, that that broadcast is archived at the website, scriptures4america.org, and also at sfawbn.com. So if you missed them, you can go there and listen to them, download them, order a CD, whatever you want to do.
They were just lovely. On a couple different notes, passing by quickly, the duck dynamics, whatever. What I've read recently was they've agreed to be back on the air, and what the mainstream media put out was that that these people will be teaching tolerance. So they have to hook them up with something.
Oh, I'm sure.
They already have all the season done for the year. They're already in the in the pipeline to come out, so they're not making any new episodes. They're all ready to go for this year, so nobody has to show back up at a studio for some time. One thing I just want to bring up though is I'm sure we're all going to sleep safer tonight and much calmer because out of D.C., the DOJ has sent down prosecutors to Texas because now we do have a hate crime criminal. There's this white guy that is imitating the blacks, imitating, mind you, the rottenness that it's been going on so long the other way around. And so now they've purposely sent Fed prosecutors to Texas against that so-called white person down there,
right?
Knocking out a black man,
right? And if you hadn't heard, it did. It showed up big time. I guess it was yesterday, maybe Thursday evening, but at least Friday. Down in Texas, white guy goes and videos, walks up to an elderly black man, and knocks him out, hits him, records it, and then, of course, he's got to go show people, you know. And Kevin, I like how you mentioned it, you know, imitating. Because that's what we are. We're sheep. We imitate others. And of course, they arrest him. And the first thing they do is charge him with a hate crime. Because he's white, and he hit a black person. And then, of course, they link it with the knockout game. You know, knockout game player charged with hate crime. And I mentioned it to a couple people yesterday that what it does, and I say praise the Lord for it, you know. Now, this white guy, they had to throw the book at him. Yeah, you shouldn't go up and just hit somebody. It's wrong to do that. But have the same standard. We're even told in the Bible that we're to have the same law for us as for the stranger that's among us. We can't have two separate laws. But, see, they can do that. They have a law for us. White person does something to a black person, that's a hate crime. White person flies a Confederate flag. If you go to San Jose State University, and they'll charge you with a hate crime. They did that to four students this year. But for years, black gangs have been going around. They had a big riot in Jacksonville where they had about 600 black youths on Christmas night that did that. Knocking people out, tearing up cars, causing damage. No, there's nothing race-related there. And you've had the blacks that have been knocking people out, knocking white people out. And the only time you heard about it is when they finally started knocking some Jews out in Brooklyn. And that's the only time it ever made the mainstream media. But it's been going on for 2 or 3 years. And no mention of hate crime. The only time it was a mention of hate crime when the blacks did it is
when they
knocked out the Sephardic Jew or whatever. Now that's a hate crime. So it is. It's part of our captivity. It's part of being in Egypt, being in Babylon. It truly
this guy's
is.
An idiot, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I like when I saw it, and Kevin, I got two other callers here. We'll try to get right to you. But, you know, I likened it to Russell, our brother in Texas, got carjacked a couple weeks ago by a white guy. You know, you think white, and we talked about that. Hey, we can be twofold more sons of hell than the sons of hell.
Yeah, and we should hold ourselves to a higher standard
absolutely
than we hold others.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. So should he do it and get away with it? No. You know, the guy that carjacked Russell, you know, they caught him ramming cop cars up high on meth and, you know, the trash of the world. You know, truly the white trash. But, yeah, Kevin, you're right. Hopefully it shows people the double standard. You know, when you have the Department of Justice jumping on this as fast as they can, when for the last 3 or 4 years, the multiple same type of crimes, but different, you know, the order's different, they basically ignore.
That's right. And I want to get off here real quick, but this is not even new. I've worked for a gentleman back in the early 70s. An older gentleman, and he had memory. He was telling me about in the 40s that in Chicago they had designated days in big cities in this country that they called bump day, and all the blacks would bump white people. And I cannot find it was a regular terror type thing going on, blacks against whites, and I can't find information about that. It really genuinely happened. It's just some more burying of history.
Yeah.
So it repeats itself, and I hope they really throw the book at that white guy, slash whatever he is. He was probably walking around wearing pajamas and some skull cap and some imitative thing of all the culture that guy will live with and never know the white Adamic culture. God bless you, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks. And we got a couple callers here. Hey, caller, welcome to Coffee. Thanks for holding.
Can you hear me, Richard?
I can.
Good morning to you and Kyle.
Morning.
I want to thank you, the two guys, for getting up and soldiering on. I wanted to try to call and say something that would make sense to the world and not be a waste of time.
So you're going to talk about, you want to make sense to the world, you're going to talk about the Denver quarterback Manning and all the records he's setting? That'd make sense to the world. I'm
not
teasing,
exactly.
Russ.
Let me qualify myself to the Christian.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little different.
If they're in the planning sessions this new year,
I think
they should plan to have more kids. People that are on birth control, throw them in the trash, the Christians, and trust the Lord to let his way work out. He may not have a child, but Richard, you know as well as I do, you may have a whole bunch of children.
Right. Well, you know, and, Russell, I was talking with John just a little bit yesterday about, you know, looking back on this year, and that's one of the things that we truly should rejoice about. You know, we Brent and Glenda had a little boy, spent a few days in the hospital, but he's home and healthy and praise the Lord. And I know that there's other couples on the ministry that have had children this year, you know, and some right after Branson. And those are things that we are to rejoice about and to try to encourage, like Kyle, like you talked about, you know, hey, when someone stands up for Christ for what's right, it's encouraging to others. And, you know, hopefully that you know, these things are in, what Russell's saying is encouraging to you. You know, Russell's got a house full, and I do too, and wouldn't have it any other way. You know, that's how God's worked it out, and it's been a blessing. Hopefully that is an encouragement to some of the younger couples that might just be starting out and might be wondering, well, you know, we got one and can barely afford that.
Yeah, the economic thing is always biting on your butt, but I don't think your kids have ever done without a meal. I know my kids, we could have fed two more at every meal we've ever had.
That's right.
So that's just a thing when I just see people sitting around making resolutions. We need to repopulate with good people. We don't need any more carjackers born.
Amen.
I agree with that 100%.
That's going to require effort on the parents' part. Having said that, we as parents, we like to take credit for the good, and then it's mama's side that when they do bad stuff. But actually, God raises the children, if you'll let him, and they're his.
Well,
they are his.
No, Russell, I haven't had children like you and Richard. You know, I only had a couple. But if you want to learn more about the grace of God, more mm-hmm. about the mercy of God, more about the forgiveness of God, more about the hurt that God feels when his children do wrong.
Absolutely.
You will
Amen.
Not understand that without having children.
Not, Amen.
Right. You know? Right.
So basically, you won't understand certain parts of the Word of God. With, you know, and that's why elders and bishops and deacons, they have these certain qualifications that the Word of God give you. And all of those have to do with having one wife and children.
And children. That's you right. Know. That's right. Does that mean everything has to be perfect? Far from it. But you have to, because we're certainly not perfect before God. No. And we're made in His image, and we have children. You know, and I, and Russell, I know we've talked about this before. You know, the more that we're parents, especially fathers, the more you see that God-child relationship in us being earthly fathers with our children. And being that we're made in His image, that's how it's supposed to be. That's what God intended.
And also, Richard, there is going to be some Israelite women and men that may not have children for reasons we don't understand.
Right.
And that certainly doesn't make one lick better in any way. God's going to deal with them on a whole different set of circumstances.
Right.
So I want to make that clear. And then I'd like to make briefly just two comments. The Duck people, looks like to me they had the leverage, and it looks like to me they had a good opportunity to tell Disney to take a hike at this point. They don't need Disney. They know who they're working for now. It's very clear. So why not jump to another? Of course, I guess there's not another network that's Jew-free. So.
Yeah, it's a monopoly.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. I know Glenn Beck offered him, you know, his little, isn't he the Blaze guy?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck, you know, I think he offered him, you know, hey, you can come to my network. Of course, he's just got a little network when you compare it to A&E or something. But
I've never seen.
Well, now. Well, that's it.
Call it. We got another caller. So, Nikhil, you can see I did not hang up
on
Russell.
You did not.
So I'm sure Russell will call back. We'll take this other caller. Caller, thank you so much for holding.
Boy, that's a fine way of getting rid of a lot of callers.
No.
Richard, it's me.
I'm sitting here. Hey, Cal, I'm sitting here drinking coffee and listening to Russell. I'm sure he'll call back.
I just wanted to touch on some points that you brought up about the fellow Robinson with the Duck Dynasty that I thought was so interesting in his witnessing for the Word of God, that he made reference to the private parts of a woman and the private part of a man and how they normally would work.
Yeah.
If we recall the first part of Romans, it says, because of God, his got so mad at their disobedience, he says, I'm going to turn you over to the stupidest thing in the world. You're going to start desiring women with women and men with men. That's
right.
A curse.
It is. You'll lose your natural
punishable
affection.
Punishable by death.
Yep.
And it's really interesting. And then for those that are into the carjacking, in the olden days, if you stole a man's horse, you hung for it. So I think that we ought to bring back the good old days.
Amen.
You want to take my horse? Let's see, outrun some lead.
Yeah, think twice about it.
I think that it's just a wonderful how the Word of God keeps coming out. And the most opportune times, I bless that man. I think he did a good job. And he didn't need that television show any more than you and I do.
Right.
He was already wealthy in his own right.
Amen.
From the job that they already done with their duck calls. Anyway, thanks again, man, for your witnessing.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Cal. And sent Russell a text. So, Russell, if you're out there, give us a call
maybe
back.
Maybe he's still talking.
He might be. Sometimes
no,
the phone.
You know, he brought out a great point. And you know, about the barren women, yeah, the reason why, I mean, the word spells it out, is because there's sin in the land, is why
right.
there's barren women. Because if Israel would have kept God's commandments, there would be none barren among them, not even among their cattle.
Right.
And we know we have open cows every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you imagine if all our cows weren't barren, you know, were
yeah, and the women could have their children at home
yeah.
without the expense or the problems of the hospital.
And I want to clarify that a little bit, because I don't want to say just because you're a barren woman, it's because of your sin. No, I'm saying Israel as a whole, we are reaping because Israel isn't keeping God's commandments.
Right.
You know, but then again, we all know we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know?
Right.
Apart from Jesus Christ, but anyways.
But
yep. His points on children, you know, and I wished I would have had more, even though a lot of tears have came with two.
Oh, I know what you mean there. You know, it's interesting that you see, and you know, having big families, I've said it before, it's not for everyone, you know. It's not. God opens and closes the womb, you know. I can remember, you know, hearing... you know, women calling each other fertile myrtle, because even if they were on the pill or whatever, they'd still get pregnant.
Yeah.
God directs that. And then you got some that, for whatever reason, you just can't, you know. So we'll go back to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome to coffee.
Boy, Richard, what did I say to get cut off?
I told Kyle, I said, now, Kyle, you're a witness. I got both my hands right here holding my cup of coffee. And, oh, no, your wife sent me a text that your phone died, so let's keep things straight. Or somebody.
I'm not real good with these phones, so
that
forgive
happens.
Me. But what I was trying to say that I was cut off on was, didn't the Duck Dynasty guy just quote scripture?
You know, he did, and we've talked about that. He paraphrased 1 Corinthians 6. He gave the warning. You know, he said that, and you know, they've come out before. We don't need more laws in the land. We need less sin. Our problem is too much sin in the land. Talked about that, and you know, and we were just mentioning that, the collateral damage that comes from the sin in the land, you know. But you're right. That's all he did. And he read it a little backwards, because when we just read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, it says all this. Don't be deceived that these people won't enter into the kingdom. And then then the Bible says, and such were some of you, that we were that way. I was that way on many of those things, not all of them, but many, more than half. But we were washed. And Mr. Phil started the conversation that way. He said, hey, I grew up in the 60s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I know what I'm talking about. He said, but I came out of that. I turned to Christ. And, you know, and he said, and that's what you got to do. So anyway, he quoted
my point
scripture.
If you want to make them mad, quote scripture.
Yes,
I mean, absolutely.
And that just kicks into autopilot. They don't like scripture.
And the so-called Christian world, too. If you want to make them mad, quote scripture.
Absolutely. Well, that's the distinction between the goats and the sheep. It truly is this day. That is a shibboleth. Just like baptism is, just like the name is Jesus Christ and not some Yahushi-fushi. And quote scripture to them. Quote scripture. And if they get upset with that, understand, they're not getting upset with you. I mean, they are. Because you're doing it.
Yeah, and they'll call you names.
Yeah.
You know,
but,
like
but
they did Christ.
But it's rebellion to God is what it is. They are in rebellion to God, whether they're his or not. And that's what upsets them. It truly does.
Could I close with this quote from a guy named Saul Alinsky? You know who he is, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, Russell, we got 10 minutes left. Don't close with it, but certainly, you know, share it with the remnant.
Okay, well, this is Thunder Thighs Clinton. What's her name? Hillary.
Hillary.
This was her. This was her mentor. This was Obama's mentor. This was that gangster thug with the dual citizenship, that's the phony Chicago mayor. What's his name? He was one of.
I can see his Obama's evil face. I just can't recall his name.
One of Obama's sidekicks that left the regime so he could start up the gangsterism in Chicago. Anyway, Saul Alinsky is their man.
Yes.
This is their god, their prophet. Saul has here, lest we forget, at least, an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history. And who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which? The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom. I speak of Lucifer. Now, isn't that just how these people think?
It is. Apparently it is.
I mean, that's the mind of the original rebel. And this is who Saul holds up for all his little disciples. They're fighting for their own kingdom. That's the bottom line. They want to be God.
That's what it is. That's exactly rebellion to God, rebellion to his way. You're right. It comes from the very first rebellion, the very first radical, they call him. And it continues today.
The Antichrist motto is, I'm God. And nothing really changes over the years, does it? They just repackage it like classic Coke. they call it Buddhism. They call it Hinduism. They call it all these self-help programs. They repackage it, and they just keep telling you, you can control your own self. You take the birth control. You plan the family. You're God. You're God. You're God. Forget the scripture. And this is where we're at. So I pray for a good new year. I got tested by this thug. And maybe I think I failed the test because I forgot Jesus Christ right in the midst of it all. I forgot to call on the name Jesus Christ. I went nuts, and all I wanted to do was kill the guy. So I failed that test, but I've repented, and I'm going to try to remember to carry a gun that I can access quicker, because I don't think it would have been wrong to blow his head off, and I would have rejoiced over that. But I failed that test, and I learned something. So I think we're all going to be tested. You don't know when it's going to happen.
That's true.
You have no idea.
And you don't get just one test.
No, well, just work out a scenario in your head and try to be ready, but it's going to catch you completely off guard. And I should have hollered Jesus kill him or something, but I forgot about Jesus and I just went nuts. So I'm working on that. My children came out of nowhere just to help us. And it was like, it's a wonderful life. I had people calling the phones, what can we do? Where can we drive around? And it was amazing. There was guns flying everywhere. I thought I was at the armory.
Good.
People made guns I didn't even know how to shoot.
Yep. Well, there's certainly something to fix, Russell. Learn how to shoot all those guns.
Well, I'm just so old. I just need to stick to revolvers. Mm. But it was God who gave us our car back.
Yeah.
And I told John, a simple prayer, God, where's the car? And 15, 30 seconds later, I promise, the phone rang and they found the car.
Yeah.
There's no way they could have found that car.
Yep. Got a text from our brother Brent up in Canada, eh? And he's listening in. So, good morning, Brent. And it's Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, yeah.
That's him.
That's the Chicago.
Is he a high
And you know,
Rahm,
he
a high character fellow that you want to hold up there for children to grow up to be like?
He holds dual citizenship. He's an American citizen and an Israeli citizen. And is he the mayor of Chicago? Or the governor? Yeah. Mayor? Mayor?
He's mayor, and by no way legally should that be, except he's Rahm Emanuel.
Right.
And Rahm, he's his God, and he makes the rules.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Russell, now we're almost out of time. You carried us to our closing.
He wasn't joking.
And we sure appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Hey, God bless.
You know, he talked about, being your own God. And I think of all these so-called Christians out there who don't believe the Word of God is true, they want their own interpretation on 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 and 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10. They want their own interpretation on what it means there when it says homosexuals, and or if they're a drunkard or they're a fornicator or whatever they are. And what they are actually doing is they're calling the Holy Spirit a liar. And this has all been kind of playing out. You know, I'm planning on doing a show coming up about the unforgivable sin. Which we all know is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because they did the same thing to Christ. Christ is speaking the words, he's casting out demons, and they came at him with, you have a demon, you know, and you're the spirit of Beelzebub. You see, when they did that, they weren't coming against the Son of Man. They were coming against the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've all heard our whole lives that there's one sin that you can't be forgave of. But nobody takes the time to figure out what that sin is. And Christians all the time are committing that sin when they don't believe the Word of God is true. They're calling the Holy Spirit a liar. So when a man, whether it's Phil Robertson or one of us or Pastor Peters or whoever it is, when a man comes out and he says, the Word of God, reads the Word of God, and they say, I don't believe that. You know, they're not calling you a liar or me a liar. They're calling the Holy Spirit a liar, and that is blaspheming that is unpardonable. Mm. I mean, we have to take that into consideration. And it goes back to what Russell was talking about. It's that Satan kingdom where I am God. You know, you're going to lose, people. If that's the kingdom you want, read the book. It comes from the book. Want the origins of Satan? Read the Bible. Mm-hmm. You want to find out what happens to him at the end? Read Revelations and find out that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and burn forever. You know what I mean? But anyway, just a thought.
Looking forward to that one. Well, folks, we're out of time. We thank you for joining us on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning. We sure invite you to come to church tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Come to scriptures4america.org, and at that time tomorrow morning, click on the live video stream if you have a good internet connection, and you can join us. I think we've got a scriptural insight and study from Kyle, and then some music, introduction by, you'll get to see John there, the Ramrod, and we'll have some good music, praise music from Shananiah. And then a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And you're up for communion tomorrow, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
And that's good. So we invite you. We thank you for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers. Know that we keep you, the remnant, in our prayers. And we ask for God's blessings on all those that are His. See you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stake high.
disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.